Good morning. That's a great message, isn't it? The Lord has come. We're in Sunday school. We're going through in Luke, and the people are, it's the triumphal entry, and many of them, they know that somebody important has come, and they're celebrating him, but they didn't know that the Lord had come. They were expecting something different. So, hallelujah, we know he has come.
Amen.
So just looking at the announcements here, I am not Russ, as you know, and I'm up there. Okay, yes, I'm Chris. but I did want to just kind of start off with just a quick update for those of you guys who have been really praying and know about Russ, our associate minister. He is doing a little bit better. We just got an update. Pastor Bob did that they're seeing good signs of improvement, and Russ, who has been pretty highly sedated with the intubation, they must be kind of letting him come out of that a little bit. He's been writing a few notes to Kathy, and so we praise God because it was obviously a very, very scary time when things just kind of seem to spiral out of control. So praise God. Keep him in your prayer. Kathy was supposed to have surgery this week. I'm assuming that's not going to be happening now for her, but please remember to pray for him and for a recovery as well. Looking at your bulletins, our bulletins, Ladies Prayer Breakfast, that is this Tuesday. There's a number there. If you've never gone to the Ladies Prayer Breakfast, you're invited. But give Judy a call. Let her know that you're planning on coming. And that number is on there. So any ladies, any of you guys who want to come to that, look at that one. And then the prayer service on Wednesday, December 6th, that's at noon. And again, if you're not babysitting, I'm babysitting. If you're not working, if you're not doing something, and you've thought, I've never been to a prayer meeting, this is a really good time and a good place to come. So consider coming to that one at noon on Wednesday. Choir practice, for those in choir, please take note of that. It's this Thursday at 6:30. And then the men's fellowship breakfast, that's also on Saturday. And for choir members, again, remember that right after the men's prayer breakfast at 10 o'clock, we have our cantata practice, which reminds me that Sunday, this next Sunday, that is going to be the Christmas cantata. So if you have family, friends, or people that you would think that might enjoy the Christmas cantata, please invite them for this coming Sunday. And Christmas in the Park, that's coming up also in West Jeff. So I'm not sure if you'll be wanting to talk with Kathy Harless about that. You might check with that, but look at that one. That's Friday through Saturday, December 8th and 9th. Prime Timers, Wednesday, December 13th. They are having a white elephant gift exchange, so anybody come and enjoy that one too. Bob wants us to you to know too that he's going to be doing some sort of a membership. So if you are thinking about becoming a member, maybe you aren't a member, or you want to talk about options of membership, talk with Pastor Bob because he's going to be taking in some new members and maybe doing some other things. So talk with him about that membership. Coming up. And then today, there's a special congregational meeting, so please don't leave the church right away. Stay after. It's usually very, very quick. There'll be a pastoral vote for you guys to kind of decide if you believe that we should be called again. And then some other board members, some important things that are happening today, so following the service, stay here. And anything else? Christmas Eve service. We are having that here. So Christmas Eve is Sunday. So we're going to have the morning worship. And then you get to come back again on Sunday night for the Christmas Eve service. So, pardon? Oh, yes. Pick up Christmas cards. So if you're thinking about sending and writing out Christmas cards for the church, that's a ministry that we do here too, but you probably have some cards out there in a box, and so don't forget to pick those Christmas cards up. So God is good, and good to see all of you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
morning. Today is special because it is the beginning of a new season. We call this season Advent. What does that mean? Advent is a word that means to come. It is a time when we get ready, preparing ourselves for the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus came when he was born on Christmas Day. What are some things that we might do to get ready? We should get our hearts ready by thinking about him. What we are doing right now around this Advent wreath is a way of preparing for Christmas. This is the first Sunday in Advent.
Today we light one purple candle. The traditional color for Advent is purple, which refers to the coming of the royal king, Jesus Christ. Purple is also a deep color that symbolizes spiritual darkness outside the light of Christ. The first candle is the candle of hope.
I lit this candle to remind us that we wait with hope for the day when we celebrate again the birth of Jesus. We hope that everyone will come to know and worship God. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, God spoke through prophets in the Old Testament to tell people that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come. This candle of hope is symbolic of the long years of waiting and hoping for when Jesus Christ would come to save the people from their sins. Listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah.
Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel." Isaiah 9:2, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned."
Prophet Isaiah reminds us of the hope that God gives us in Jesus Christ. We have many lights around us at Christmas time.
The light can remind us that Jesus is the light of the world.
Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to earth, just like the prophet said, and for your promise to come again. Thank you, Jesus, for being our light, so we know how to live. Amen.
Amen. Let's just praise the Lord, shall we? Let's sing.
Let's just pray.
Forever grateful. Testament and what you offer now. We thank you for the pardon that you offer in our sins. Give us strength and give us wisdom to walk your way, Lord, and we just thank you for what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. You have a good week this week? Yep. Everything's going well, getting towards Christmas time where they're putting out our little presents and everything else, right? You know, it's not about gifts, though, is it? It's about the gift, which is Jesus, right? Amen. Keep that in mind when you meet with family and friends. We're going to try to do some different traditions in our family this year. We'd read this story, but we're trying to make it more personal, so we're probably going to have our kids each read a part, even if they don't want to, because, you know, they're our kids, so we'll just say, here's your part to read, but we're going to try to bring Christ back into Christmas, you know, so it's not just about gifts and the presents and all those kinds of things. So, anybody have any praises they want to share this morning? What God's been doing? Happy birthday, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I want to thank you all for your prayers that the clot in my leg is getting better. It's getting smaller, it seems like. So I have a praise that the medicine that was prescribed is working well. But I really just want to thank you and praise you for being faithful with me, that we trust the Lord is going to help that clot go away. And we have the same faith and trust that that's going to happen with Russ. So I just want to praise the Lord for how faithful he is when we turn things over to him.
I was in the nursery last week, and so I wasn't able to share this praise, but Pete and I had one of the best, probably the best Thanksgiving we ever had. We had all eight of our grandchildren home, and that was such a joy, and grandchildren are just so much fun, and I thank the Lord for giving us those grandchildren.
I had a test on Friday, and so as of now, I am 6 years cancer-free, so praise the Lord. And also, Roger saw the cardiologist on Thursday, and he started him on a new medication. We were coming to church together this morning, but he started to feel sick, so I took him back home. So just keep him in your prayers.
Remember Carol Watson as well. She's in Dublin Hospital. She had some bleeding. They're trying to take care of that, so I haven't got an update yet today, but as of yesterday, they were trying to figure out what was happening, so they're giving her blood and trying to get her back to where she should be. So,
I want the church to remember Michelle's husband, Randy. He's going to see a cardiologist this week, and he told a long time ago, they told him that he might have to get a pacemaker, but his pulse has really been low, so we don't know what they're going to find. I think she said Wednesday or Thursday. I'm not sure which day, but he will go this week.
Pray for Randy.
I can't just sit here and not say something. Make no mistake that Russ Harless is fighting for his life, okay? This is critical. Not only to the people around him, but love him, but to the church and all. I've known Russ for 35 years, as you know. And my daughter's married to Jeremy, and I'm closer to him than Jack than anyone. And I did go back and see him last night. I did kind of put it off. I did work in the medical field for quite some time, so I know what I was going to be looking at. And it's very difficult to see him like that. So I want to tell you something about Russ. He is what he is. his life shines around me. He keeps me on the path because he has been down the wrong path and has come back. And he is convicted beyond belief in his convictions to the Lord. And yeah, I could call him any time to go visit somebody at the hospital or sing at the nursing homes or play music. And even though he has a busy schedule, he never has said no. He's always prayed with me for anybody show up at their house. And I say, for the last 30 years, he's been like that. So if you have time tonight, say a special prayer. I want to say one other thing, if I can get through it, is that when we get ill, when you get older, you have a tendency to say whatever, okay? Just let God's will be done. I had a cancer scare last year at this time. I said that. I said whatever. I mean, I've had a good life. My kids are doing well. Let's just let God's work be done. But then I got to thinking. I thought, well, I'll go for the test. And thank God my tests were negative. I was fine. And then the doctor called me on Christmas Eve to tell you how serious it was. He called me on Christmas Eve to give me the good news. So it was close. So as we get older, we have to look around that if something does happen to us that could be prevented. You're affecting a lot more people than just you letting go, okay? So you need to take care of yourself. You need to do what the doctor says. You need to, as best you can, when it's over, it's over. We understand that. But I know as a tendency, as you get older, you have a tendency to just let it go. And if you're not used to going to the doctor, you say, nah, whatever. But you affect so many other people. And just think, we got to get Russ healed. I may need him to come to pray for me. I may need him to come to pray with you. He goes through them hospitals. I don't know how he figures out where he's at. He knows exactly how to get through the hospital. I go with him to pray with people. But please say a special prayer for Russ, because understand, he's got a long road ahead of him. Even if he comes out of the vent, he's on a ventilator, as you know. He's got a long road ahead of him. So please keep him in a special prayer tonight. Russ is a special person.
Let's have a few gather around Larry. We're going to lay hands on him and pray for Russ this morning. Father, we just come this morning praying for our brother Russ. And we're laying our hands on Larry, Lord, as our intermediary, as a representative of him. And we know the condition that he's in. We know it's not a surprise to you, Lord, but it was a surprise to us. And we pray for Russ, he's there in the hospital, Lord, to improve, to be able to come out of this state that he's in, that he is improving, Kathy said, Lord, but he's got a ways to go when he gets out even. We don't know if it's going to be CPAP, BiPAP, whatever it's going to be, but he needs help with his breathing and oxygen and getting back to health. And we just thank you, Lord, for him helping so many people, praying for them and touching their lives and sharing and being a witness, and for his family and friends that he's influenced as well, and for the church and for the work that he's done for the last 30 plus years, whatever it's been. So we just pray this morning, Lord, be with Kathy as well and the family, as I'm sure they're worried and concerned and in stress. And she had her birthday yesterday, Lord, and I'm sure that wasn't a happy experience, but she's at least feeling a little bit better, that Russ is able to write her some notes this morning. And so we just pray for healing for him. We know there's maybe been some damage. We need to take care of that damage. We need his oxygen levels to be up where they belong, and we need his CO2 levels to go down. We need his heart to be fixed and his blood clot in his leg and all the different things that are happening, Lord, that we're just glad that he's in the hospital because the doctors can do some things and take care of it, that he'll get the help and care that he needs. But we pray for your Holy Spirit to be with him as well. Just touch him, fill his body, Lord, with a peace, with the hope and with the healing that you can do. We ask you to touch him this morning, Lord, beyond our belief and wildest imagination, that he would recover from this fully. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's just pray for Carol as well this morning. Father, we just pray for Carol this morning. You'd be with her. We pray for you to just touch her physical body, Lord. She has this bleeding happening. They don't know where it's coming from at this point, but they'd be able to find out where it's coming from and be able to stop the bleeding and get her back to full health, and be with those who aren't with us today, and those who are sick, those who may be traveling or had some other thing that come up. Pray you'd be with them and just direct us, Lord, in our worship this morning as we worship you. Let our thoughts be upon you, that you are the hope of the world, and that we need to turn and trust to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The moment that Mary touched God's face is the moment God made his case. There is no place, as the song we were singing, there's no place he will not go. If he's willing to be born in a barnyard, then expect him to be at work anywhere that we are. No place is too common. No person is too hardened. No distance is too far. There's no person he cannot reach. There's no limit to his love. When Christ was born, so was our hope. Actually, I think we need Christmas now more than ever, don't we? We really do. We could use a season that is dedicated to giving and not receiving, to caring, not critiquing. Put away our differences, put up the Christmas tree, take comfort in a familiar story and the ancient carols. Our world, like that of Bethlehem, is difficult and crowded. Our days can feel as cold and uncertain as that midnight manger. Yet in the midst of it all, let's do what Mary did. Let's invite the source of peace to enter into our world. Let's find hope once more in the infant King. God became one of us so that we could become one with Him. The gulf that separated me from Christ, my Lord. It was so fast, the crossing, I could never fall. From where I was to His demand, it seemed so far. And I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where You are. Oh, but He came to me.
Came to me.
Thank you, Sam. Well, I think people need something to look forward to today, don't they?
We don't have a lot of that. We have a lot of regrets, but we need something that gives us hope and a reason for hoping, a reason to keep going, to press on. But today is week one of Advent, and Advent season includes four Sundays. It talks about the arrival or the coming of Christ, and then his second coming as well. But the next four Sundays will reflect on four things: hope, peace, joy, and love. And Everett has our banners up there. I asked him if he was Arabic, and he said no. I said, because he's going from right to left instead of left to right. I said, I read it, love, hope, joy, peace. He goes, no, it goes that way. I'm like, okay. Well, just explaining to you how it goes so we know. But as Jesus' first arrival, he was proclaimed as Savior. And it says, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. In his second coming, he'll be a judge, won't he? He's going to judge to those that are gathered. And Paul says, those who have longed for his appearing. And we now stand longing for that day, don't we, when Christ comes back and we get rid of all the turmoil and problems and issues and things we have with government and health and family and all those things that are happening around us. But the circumstances in our lives seem to change daily, don't they? Sometimes without warning. Just like Russ, one day you're doing okay, the next day you're in the hospital. One day your bank account's fine, the next day there's nothing there. One day your car's working, the next day it's broke down. I mean, it just happens. We don't know when it's going to happen, but we need to be prepared for all those things, spiritually at least, to know that God's there and takes care of us. But the Advent season is an invitation for us to step back from our daily lives and see the bigger picture of God's great salvation. You know what tunnel vision is, right? Where you just look at just what's right in front of you. That's it. That's all you see. You don't see anything else. But God has a bigger picture for us than what's just in front of us. Like Larry said this morning, how many lives does your life affect that you don't think about? How many lives your life's touched that you don't think about? Our lives make a lot of difference if we weren't here. That movie, It's a Wonderful Life, we watch that about every year, right? Where George talks about he doesn't want to live and he jumps off the bridge and whatever. And then he sees all the life, all the people he affected, and all those changes that he made. We need to think about that ourselves. And we'll do an Ernieism again this morning. You're important, right? Think about how many people you talk to or that you influence, even if you don't know that you influence them, how many you influence, you talk to and do things with. But God has given us a reason to hope, but our hope is not dependent on how we feel. It's dependent on Christ. A lot of times we base our decisions on how we feel, don't we? Oh, I feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. Sometimes you do it because you know you should do it because it's right. And we have hope in him because we know he's the one who gives us hope. He gives us our salvation. But what does the act of hope look like? The scripture says it's waiting. The Hebrew language, the root word for hope, is to wait, or it means being stretched like a string. Some of you play guitar, right? Some of you have guitars and don't play them. You just have them for whatever reason. But there's tension on the string of a guitar waiting for someone to come along and create music. The potential's there for music bound up in the guitar waiting to be played. But if you never touch the string, it never gets played, does it? If we never hope, we never get to see what that hope does or what that hope's for. But our connotation for our culture is waiting is boring. Right? Waiting's boring. You ever go to a fast food place and you're waiting more than 1 minute? You're like, what is going on? This is ridiculous. I've been waiting for a minute already. Well, some of you kids don't remember when we first got the computer came out in our houses. And you got on the internet. It was like, bing, bong, bing, bong, bing. Welcome to AOL. And you're like, wow, that only took me 5 minutes. Mom, it was fast today. And now we get a lag in our phone or internet or whatever, and we think, what is going on? Why am I waiting for this? I should have it instantaneously. That's the problem with our society. We want instant gratification in everything. right? And a lot of times kids today want what their parents have that took them 30, 40, 50 years to get to. They want to get out of college and have it now. So we have a country that has a lot of debt. I'll charge this. I'll just charge that. So hope sometimes can mean waiting. We just need to wait sometimes for things to happen. Sometimes we get things too soon, too early, and we're not ready to have that. Sometimes we say, I'm waiting to finish school. I'm waiting for my food. I'm waiting for this. I'm waiting for that. Think about the picture of a groom waiting for his bride. Did you ever see a single wedding where the groom's like, oh, she's coming. No. Their eyes sit up in the front, kind of jittery. And then they look at her. Right? It's never like, oh, geez, what did you do? But it's a waiting that's a confident hope, isn't it? I've been waiting for you to come, finally. Biblical hope is a confident trust that God will keep his promises. So we should look forward to his promises and be devoted in our life to how we live for him. Peter tells the church to live a holy and godly life as we wait for the second advent. So 2 Peter 3:10-11 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire and the earth, and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy, godly lives as you look forward to the day of God, and speed its coming. We're supposed to look forward to the time when he comes back, right? I can't wait till you get back. I can't wait till you're here. I can't wait to stop all this suffering and stop the pain and the anguish and all these things we're going through. I can't wait for you to come back. The good thing is, if you're a Christian, and if your family's Christian as well, right, they're all going to be there. So our hope and determination should be, let them come. Let them know about Christ and his salvation so we'll see them there someday. But it's going to be unexpected. Everything will be destroyed. We should be looking forward to him coming because that's what he wants for us. So we have the hope, but some are still waiting for the Messiah, aren't they? Some are like, he hasn't come yet. He hasn't been here yet. Messiah is a word that means anointed one. A king's anointed or designated as the chosen one to lead a nation. And we know David was anointed as king, and he ruled as Israel's most prosperous king. But God made a promise to David. He said the promise that there will be a king who will come from his line and who would sit on David's throne forever. And the king is the anointed one, and he's the Messiah. So the people heard, didn't they? The Jewish people, Israelites, heard that the Messiah was coming, but when he came, they didn't recognize him. They didn't see that it was him. They expected something different. Well, then King David dies, and the kingdom of Israel is divided. Eventually, people go into exile. And after the exile, some return to Jerusalem and begin rebuilding the city in preparation for the coming of the Messiah. Talk about patience. They waited 400 years between the Old and the New Testament. Slowly, the prophetic hope of the Messiah turns into a pessimistic hope. The people think maybe God hasn't kept his promise. But in the fulfillment of time, Jesus came and claimed to be the Messiah. He even said, I'm the one you're waiting for, didn't he? And they didn't really believe it. So he's talking to the woman in John 4. And she says, I know that the Messiah called the Christ is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I'm the one speaking to you. I am he. Interesting, isn't it? Wonder why she didn't believe or tell everybody and they didn't believe and see, hey, this is him right here. Because they expected something different. The Messiah had been promised the Israelites for a long time. He promised deliverance from Egypt and it came. He promised to provide in the desert and they had water and food. He promised a land to live in and the walls of Jericho fell. And they had reason to hope because God is faithful and always keeps his promises. And we have hope today, don't we? Because we serve a living Savior. He's not dead. He's not in the grave. A lot of the other religious leaders you go to, their bodies, bones, or whatever are still there. But Jesus isn't there. 2 Peter 3:8 says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So here's some of the promises he gives us. I'll never leave you. How many times do you hear that from somebody and they leave you? I'll never forsake you. I'll send the Holy Spirit to be a comforter and guide. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Don't let your hearts be troubled, for if I go, I'll come again. So we have a reason for hope, and we have a salvation. We're saved, and we're going to be saved from this earth. But the celebration of Jesus' first arrival was not just a story. You can look historically, you can look in the Word. Christmas, we remember that Christ became man and took on flesh and entered into space and time and experienced human existence, pain, joy, love, laughter, sleeping, praying, walking, playing. He experienced all of it. If you were God, would you want to do that? Come into a human fleshly body and experience all that? I'd be like, I don't think so. Can't we just skip this part? But that wasn't part of God's plan. Simeon says about Jesus, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and at the glory of your people. So he's alluding to several passages in Isaiah, and he praises Jesus. Isaiah 49:6, he says, I'll make you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And Isaiah 52:10, the Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. So bearing his arm means he showed strength. And salvation was something that only God could accomplish. And that was accomplished through Christ. The only one who's ever perfect. Because none of us are perfect. None of us could have paid that price. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. Jesus shined the light for the Israelites, didn't he? Some refused to recognize it, that he was the hope. And we know that darkness is the absence of light. And we know the world's not like it should be. We live in a broken world, don't we? It seems to me to get worse every year. There's more things you're like, what? What is? I never would have seen that before. That never would have showed up. Nobody would have ever said that. Nobody could have done those things. And then every day there seems to be like another loophole. This comes up, that comes up. In our schools, in our government, in our banking industry, in everything you can think of, something changes all the time. And it changes without notice. An easy thing to look at is look at your food. Remember you used to be able to go to Little Caesars? What was the big thing about Little Caesars? $5 pizza. You know what it is now? I think it's like $6.89. It was like $6.29, I think it's $6.89. Did they ever advertise that? No, you just go and you're like, what? Oh, I guess I need more than my $5. Things like that just change without notice. There's things that they do in behind closed doors in our governments, in our cities, in our schools that they just do, and we're like, when did that happen? They don't tell anybody. But we do have a hope, don't we? Because God puts the Holy Spirit within us. We don't live under the shadow of death. Our eyes can be open to see those things that are happening. Even though some people are blinded to those things, we can see them, and we need to stand up and say, that's not right. You can't do that. You shouldn't be allowed to do that. We have the resurrection of Christ to give us confidence that he's going to come again. 1 Peter 1 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven. So we have a future ahead of us, don't we? Some people think, I have no future, right? There's nothing for me anymore. As long as you have breath, there's a future, there's a reason for you to be here. Because Jesus is our object of hope. We can have hope even though we feel sad or discouraged. Suffering and sorrow can be disorienting. And that's what Satan wants. He wants to distract us. He wants us to be led off to the side, to be depressed. But he came in the flesh. But the world's not all there is. Because God offers us more, doesn't he? There's more to come. Just like when I talk about the fork story. Some of you have heard the fork story. If you haven't, then you'll have to wait till you can hear it. But if you look to Jesus for salvation, then you have hope. It doesn't mean you feel like it. It means you know you have it. You practice it. You tell yourself, there's hope. It's going to be okay. I have something to look forward to. Many people don't live with that. They live with distraction and despair. A guy named Dean Kutcher says this, our hope is not just a personal experience that we keep to ourselves. It's a beacon that others should notice. As you celebrate Advent, let your actions radiate the hope within you, prompting others to inquire about the source of that hope. You should have enough hope and things in you about Christ that somebody says, "What? How do you have so much hope? How can you be that way? Look at the circumstances." You can say, my hope's in the Lord. It's not based on circumstances. It's not based on what you can see. It's based on what I know that God says. Imagine a lighthouse. Not only provides guidance to ships to help them find their way, but also draws attention of those on the shore. Our lives can be a lighthouse to those that can't see and hopefully draw them to a living hope. Christ is a light that burns even in the darkest circumstances and situations of our life. Jesus is more than just a hope we receive, but he's a hope that we have to share with others. If we don't share with others, how are they going to hear? We don't tell them anything. You don't have to necessarily preach at them, but you can say, I have hope that it's going to get better. I have a reason to believe things are going to be okay. I know what Christmas is all about. It's not just about Penny's and Macy's and Sears and Amazon and whatever else, right? It's about the Savior. And the greatest gift you can give me, if you're talking to family and friends, is to accept Christ in your life. That'd be the greatest gift I could have, knowing that I'm going to see you in eternity. But people want more, don't they? A lot of times we look inside of ourselves or our little community. We need to look outside of our community ourselves, say there's something bigger out there. We just had our election for the school board, didn't we? We got two new members on there that are in favor of things like LifeWise and Christianity and those kind of things. So hopefully that's going to make a difference. And I know they're not going to sit there just quietly when they say things at the board meeting and say, I don't think that's right. How come you're not doing that? Why aren't we doing this? So we need to be in positions that we can have an influence. You can look around and see how you can share hope with those around you. Remember that little song about let your light shine, don't put it under a bushel? Can't see it under a bushel, can you? You hold it up and let it shine. We're not really persecuted too much in this country yet, are we? We can say things. People may not like what we say. We can still say things. But our light comes from Christ. And it needs to fill in our hearts first and then get spread to others. So as we continue this Advent journey, let our hope not be just an internal flame, but a beacon proclaiming the transformative power of Christ. That he can make you into something better than you've ever thought and give you more strength than you've ever had and give you a hope that can't be put out. As you navigate through the complexities of life, we can be comforted knowing that God's with us, right? He has the path. He tells us where to go. He has the light for us to be able to follow. And we can hope that our light then can be something that draws others. I think it was John Wesley who said, I would like to be on fire and let me burn so people can see Christ. He didn't mean literally. But he wanted to be so on fire for Christ that people would see that he was different and ask him why. So let's pray. Father, we just pray that the hope from you, your light, can illuminate our lives, can push away all the darkness. We can remember and have the assurance of all your promises. As we journey through Advent, let hope kindle a flame within us and burn brightly in anticipation of the fulfillment of your redemptive plan. And help us share the real message of Advent, of Christmas, with those around. Help us share the truth that Christ is the light. So guide us and watch over us and bless us as we leave this place. And I just want to share one scripture passage. 1 Peter 1:3 again. Praise be the Father, the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope. The resurrection of Christ from the dead, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Amen.
God. God is able to do anything, isn't he? Above what we can think. Let's stand, shall we?
He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be.
Just remind you about the meeting. You want to talk to him real quick? Then go ahead and sing. Break out.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll come back in for the congregational meeting. We're voting for budget, trustees, pastor recall, and board members. So it's an important vote. So I hope all members stay, and if you're not a member, you can stay. You just can't vote. Thank you.